I'm Steve Potter. This is Cityscape, and here are some stories that our newsroom is following today. A bill was introduced before the St. Louis Board of Aldermen that would ease restrictions on setting up a business in the city. Some have complained there's too much red tape to overcome, but city license collector Mavis Thompson says St. Louis could lose more than $1 million a year because of the proposed changes. And a protest is planned for this afternoon in St. Louis by those upset with the home care vendor Paraquad. The demonstrators will claim that the company has not implemented an agreement that allows home care consumers to determine the wages of their caregivers. Join St. Louis Public Radio this afternoon for local and regional news and throughout the day on our website, stlpublicradio.org. While the annual St. Louis Fringe Festival runs for 10 days in Grand Center, it opens next Wednesday, featuring all kinds of performances, perhaps some that might take you by surprise. Em Pirro is the festival's executive director. Hi, Em. How are you?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Good to see you again. Actor Joe Hanrahan of The Midnight Company and Allison Moser of Poor Monsters are part of the Fringe Festival this year, and we welcome them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to see you. Em, I first met you on this program. It was the first year of your festival.
Yeah.
So how have things progressed for you?
Oh, man, it's been so great. We've come so far since that first year. You know, we were a passion project. We just wanted to see if we could do it. And we are now getting ready to go into our fourth year. And we've just seen incredible support from the community, an incredible outpouring of artists and patrons who are interested in what we're doing. So we are, you know, bigger, better, and stronger every year.
And Allison and Joe, have you been affiliated with the festival before?
Yes. This is actually my third year working at the festival, and I've done something different every year. My first year, I was a house manager. Last year, I was in a show that someone else produced, and this year, I'm producing and performing.
And you're part of a theater group called Poor Monsters?
Yes. The Poor Monsters are a group dedicated to allowing female and gender minority artists to explore contemporary issues through Shakespeare.
Wow. Where do you perform?
Well, the Fringe is actually our first big performance. We did something for Shake 38 with the Shakespeare Festival.
Uh-huh.
And then for Fringe, we're going to do an adaptation of Twelfth Night. That'll be 12 different pieces written or conceived by female playwrights and artists.
Very good. And Joe, I was going to ask you about your background, but everybody knows. Everybody knows Joe Hanrahan.
We've been involved in the Fringe a couple times. My partner, Sarah Whitney, wrote and directed a show for the first Fringe called All Ears for Kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was in, a couple years ago, Bob Mitchell's Montana, the Shakespeare Scarface.
And you're sort of famous around town for your one-man shows that you've been doing for I don't know how long.
Yeah, too famous.
Yeah, a lot of things that you perform often at Herbie's, like in the Central West End, right?
Yeah, I'll be doing that again in July, a couple of shows, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. Well, Em, I kind of had to laugh. I was thinking about the Fringe Festival earlier, and I thought, well, it's not your parents' arts festival, you know?
It could be, though. My parents come. They come all the way from Denver.
But it's way different than what people might expect.
It is. It is. And it is. I do want to say it is really, there's something for everyone. I kind of compare the Fringe to a movie theater where you're going to find stuff for kids, you're going to find stuff for grown-ups, but it is an atypical experience,
well,
for sure.
Let's get right to it then. Uncensored.
Yeah. It is uncensored.
What does that mean?
So the festival is totally accessible. We work with the artists for 6 months in producing their shows, and we don't put any kind of imposition on what the content of their shows is. So, you know, there's folks, we've got Monkey Tales Theater Company coming in from St. Charles doing a show for young audiences. We've got dance companies. We've got musicians, hip-hop. We've got the artists that are here in the room. We've got lots of theater. So it means that no one gets too upset if someone drops the F-bomb, but squeaky clean content isn't marginalized either.
I know, but you also make a point of letting audiences know what might be kid appropriate and
absolutely,
what might not be.
Absolutely, yes. Our program guide has like a rating for every show that's in the festival. So if they have adult content, it's notated. I would say the festival has some things that are R-rated. There's nothing that's NC-17, and there's plenty of things that are family friendly.
So not only uncensored, but unjuried.
Yes, that's true as well.
Which means they're basically you're not selecting them on their performance.
No,
it's almost
auditions.
Like whoever applies first can appear?
Kind of. We have about 3 to 4 times as many people submit to the festival as we have slots. So there are a lucky 30 that make it into the final call from St. Louis and around the country. We have 20 local acts and 10 national acts. And these are essentially passion projects. They're people who come to us with an idea. They fit within the parameters of the festival. They demonstrate to us a capacity to produce their own work. And we support them and we help them make it happen.
Well, Joe and Allison, as being part of this for a while, and not only as a performer, but as an observer, would you sort of describe the whole mood of the festival, what the experience is like?
It's a celebration. I mean, not only for the audience to be able to see a lot of things, but for the artists as well. We were able to do a show at the Philadelphia Fringe Festival, which is a little older and a little bigger than St. Louis. But to be an artist, to be able to do your show and then to be able to walk out and walk down the street and see another show and then have a party with other artists doing other shows, it's a great 2 weekends now.
Mm-hmm. Allison, what do you think?
Yeah, I think party is a great way to describe it. I kind of pull my theater friends in being like, yeah, it's pretty much just like an weekend long, 2 weekends long, like theater party. Mm-hmm. All day, all night.
We call the Fringe Festival 75% professional theater, 25% summer camp.
Well, Em, you act around town, so that's how this all your interest in this developed, I assume.
Yeah, I have a background in theater, and I also have a background in social service and community organizing, community development. So Fringe is kind of a perfect intersection between those two things.
Well, you first came to St. Louis. I think you grew up in Seattle, or you're from that area.
I did, that's true.
So you came to St. Louis to go to school, St. Louis University,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
And so what was your acting experience back in those days?
Well, I studied theater pretty intensively when I was younger. I did conservatories in Seattle and London. And when I came to St. Louis, I was ready to kind of leave that behind and pursue grown-up life. And I couldn't turn away from it. I got really absorbed. And I didn't study theater in college, but I was very involved with the theater department. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of shows there and started kind of segued into small professional shows here around town. And then I got my day job, which I worked for several years in social service, but then eventually ended up doing back in the world of theater.
Yeah, well, Joe, you mentioned a Fringe Festival somewhere else, Joe, didn't you?
Philadelphia, but they're all
right,
over.
That's a good point. It may be relatively new thing in St. Louis. Other cities have had Fringe Festivals for some time.
Oh, yeah. Fringe Festivals started actually in the 1940s in Edinburgh, Scotland. And this model is it's so effective in kind of building a cultural voice and identity for a community and propelling this industry of live art and theater that it's become worldwide.
And didn't you go to Bogota recently for a Fringe Festival? And then you're going to go to...
How did you know that?
Well, research.
I did go to Bogota. I went to Bogota and I did see some theater there. I didn't go for a Fringe, but I went to meet a contact that I actually met in Edinburgh last summer. Uh-huh. Bogota is one of the emerging theater capitals of the world, and so I had the opportunity to go. I went and I saw some incredible theater, micro theater, was real popular there.
Well, let's talk about Joe and Allison, what you're going to be doing at this year's Fringe Festival. Joe, you're going to be doing something called House, and it's been described as, and I quote, a stand-up, sit-down, one-man comedy nightmare. So what does that mean?
It's very hard to describe. Critics have called it hallucinatory, and that's for me as well as for the audiences. But I can say that I think it's like it's almost written by and far about the Fringe Festival. Daniel McIver, the playwright, his work has appeared at the St. Louis Fringe Festival. RS Theatrics did one of his shows a couple years ago, and he won himself a first Fringe Award at Edinburgh, and his shows appear in festivals. It's a one-man show about one man, and that's all I probably can say.
That's all you can say?
Yeah.
Is this one of the ones for adults?
I'd say yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, your company, Midnight Company, produced one of the playwright's works a few years ago, Cul-de-Sac. What was that?
Cul-de-Sac, yeah. That was another one-man show. It was in a little neighborhood where there had been a murder, and it was an examination of the incident and the neighbors, and it was kind of an indictment of kind of a suburban mindset that doesn't look outside their windows. Very mm-hmm. different than this show. This show is funny and very surprising.
Allison, what will you be doing?
Our show is called Or What You Will, and it's inspired by Twelfth Night. We've gotten together a bunch of artists in the area who have submitted pieces that are 1 to 5 minutes long. Some of them are a little longer than that, actually, or shorter. The audience will actually get to choose which pieces they want to see. And we aren't entirely sure yet if we'll get through every piece every time. So the audience participation is very important.
Mm-hmm. Em, I have no doubt that Joe and Allison are going to be fantastic. But I don't know how to ask you this. When you accept performers and you don't audition them, mm-hmm. How do you know you're getting something worth seeing? Help me understand that.
This is a conversation that comes up all the time with fringe festivals around the world. We're always like, are we crazy for doing uncurated festivals? And at the end of the day, the performers always exceed our expectations. We have had phenomenal work, some of the best work that I've seen in St. Louis and around the country when I've gone to other festivals. That, you know, these are people who are deeply committed to what they're doing. They take it seriously and they excel.
But Em, if I had just applied, if I'd applied to do this and been one of the first ones to do it,
yeah.
I'd have been on board.
We'd have Steve Potter at the St. Louis Fringe Festival.
I know, but I'm not saying that's a good thing.
I am. I want to see you submit next year,
well,
Steve.
Do you... Say I did that.
Uh-huh.
Would you be working with me on what I'd be doing?
Yes. So these guys can kind of attest to that. We work with folks kind of to the level that they need it. So if they're more senior, experienced producers, they get a touch in from us every so often. If they're new to the field, we're kind of there with them side by side. We do professional development workshops the months leading up to the festival. They have 6 months of incubation with us as they manifest their shows.
Okay. Well, what are some of the other things we're going to see? And I don't know if you guys, have you had a chance to see any of the other acts?
No, but I'm planning to, yeah. There's a lot of great things.
So tell me about some of these.
Oh, yeah. There's a bunch. There's several familiar faces that folks will see on this stage. Kanemu Menu-Ra, who's performed here for a long time in St. Louis, moved to Chicago, is coming back to do his show Origins of Love, which is a cabaret featuring music by Stevie Wonder, Elton John, and Shakespeare. D-Rel is a performer who's coming in from Harlem. He's a hip-hop artist who's going to be doing songs from his album, The Claudettes. For folks who are theater fans, you might know a group called Sleep No More that has performed in in New York for years and years. The Claudettes have been featured with them. They're coming to perform. MICDS is performing. There's top spinning, didgeridoo, comedy, dance. It really runs the gamut. It's a choose your own adventure of performing arts.
So the St. Louis Fringe Festival is next Wednesday through Sunday the 27th at various locations in Grand Center. How does it work with tickets and coordinating times of different performances? Do they overlap, or how does all that work?
They do overlap. With 10 days, there's not a lot of overlap, so there's no more than a few shows overlapping at the same time. There's plenty of chances to see what you want to see. Folks will pick up our program guide, which is called The Ghost Light. It's got a nice little schedule in it where you can write in the shows that you want to see and where you want to be. Everything's walking distance, so it's super easy to get from point to point. And there's a variety of ticket options and ticket packages.
Allison, what's fun about it as a performer?
Oh, gosh, everything. Everything's fun about it. Being around so many other artists who are like just as passionate as you are, who can like comment on your art in a whole different way, is very exciting. Just everything.
Joe, a last word?
When you do a play, you've got an audience coming to see you, a normal play. When you do this, you feel like you've got kind of all kind of visitors that are nice.
And one thing I don't want to forget, in addition to some of these other venues, I need to mention the one right outside our window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're doing several programs in the Public Media Commons. Lots of opportunities for patrons to connect directly with the artists and with one another. Workshops, special performances, things like that.
The 4th Annual St. Louis Fringe Festival opens next Wednesday. If you'd like to know more information, go to stlpublicradio.org/cityscape, and we'll have a link to all the information and details that you need. Now, I did, just real quickly, briefly, I went to your website, the Fringe website, and so I looked at some very interesting things you had there. What is exactly an executive transvestite?
That was a campaign we did last year when Eddie Izzard came through town. Eddie Izzard actually got his start at the Fringe Festival, so we did an homage to him when he was here during our festival.
Well, sounds like a great time. Break a leg, everyone, and
all right,
hope people
thanks.
Will come out. A lot of opportunities. You can come every day, I guess, if you wanted to.
You absolutely can. Every day for 10 days. We hope to see you there, Steve.
That's Impero. We've also been talking to Joe Hanrahan and Allison Moser. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Coming up next week on Cityscape, we're going to meet a young organist and take a look at the American Guild of Organists, which is coming to town. And in the next installment of Sound Bites produced with Sauce Magazine, instead of talking about food trends, we're going to talk with a couple of well-known restaurant owners about their continued success. And be sure and join Don Marsh Monday for St. Louis on the Air, when he'll talk with retired Air Force Colonel Michael Byron Smith about his new book of advice on fatherhood and being the best dad one can be. Archived versions of past Cityscape programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/cityscape. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, with assistance from Evita Caldwell, Aaron Dorr, and Anya O'Connor. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. I'm Steve Potter. Thanks for listening.